Welcome to the Sparkening Podcast.
In this episode, I speak with Jacob Leibovitz, a self-proclaimed LinkedIn zealot and storyteller, about how to eliminate fluff and crush it on LinkedIn or anywhere online. Hey everyone, just a quick reminder before we get into the episode with Jacob Leibovitz to go ahead and subscribe to the Sparkening YouTube channel. You can do this at youtube.com/C/BlakeEmmel. That would really help us a lot to produce more great content just like this for you in video form. All right, we're here with Jacob Leibovitz. How you doing?
Hey Blake, how are you? Good.
Doing very, very well. So just a little context, Jacob and I met on LinkedIn. I've been kind of watching his videos. He is an inspiring storyteller and very excited to have him on today, as you know, growing your business online is so much about storytelling and messaging that I think this is really going to help a lot of people out. So Jacob, why don't you go ahead and just tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do online?
Sure. So again, Blake, thanks for having me. You know, with everybody else listening, 1000% correct. Blake and I had met online and via LinkedIn. And to be totally honest, there's many, many different answers that I could have for you as to what I do online. But to try to keep it short, I will give you two answers. The first answer is, I learn as much as I possibly can from everybody and anybody that I possibly can. I glean from things that I read, from the things that I watch, the things that I see, and everything and anything that I can possibly learn from other people. One of the purposes of doing so is in order to be able to provide that information over and that wisdom over for others, because the best mistakes that you can learn from are the mistakes of other people. And the best lessons that you can learn are from mistakes. So if you combine the two together and you avoid the risk of having to deal with the consequences, and you've already learned from the goodness that people have received from what they've done well, and you've also seen the punishment that they receive, the consequences from what they don't do well, then it already helps avoid doing the exact same. So that's the first reason. The second reason why I'm online is, like everybody else, I am extremely, extremely ADD.
Very good. I think there are a lot of people that can relate to that for sure. So specifically in terms of your business, what's the new company that you're coming up with and that you're trying to grow right now? And what are you doing about marketing that online?
Wow, I am very, very glad you asked that. It is called Scale My Story. And basically, it's exactly as you said, it is storytelling. But it's not storytelling of myself and of my own, because I do that enough on a personal level as it is. And not everybody only wants to hear my voice. I know that I love my voice, but you know, your voice is way better, Blake.
Thank you.
What it is a lot of times there are brands. Let's say you have four different shoe companies, right? They're all the exact same thing. They're all the exact same shoe, the exact same design. Let's say the patenting and copyright infringement was not an issue and they were the exact same, with the exact same price point. Which of the three different companies would you choose? You would choose the one that you believe in. And how would you choose that? How would you believe in it? You would do so with an emotional attachment. Right. How can you emotionally attach to something these days? The only way that you can do that is by feeling. And you can only truly get a feel of somebody's story by understanding and knowing their story. Hmm. And that's what I offer. I offer for companies, for startups, for healthcare, for pretty much every industry, although I will admit that more of my forte and my background is in the healthcare industry. So I understand that more, just experientially speaking. But that is something that could be leveraged properly to be able to scale on a scalable level for every industry. That was the first part of your question. The second part of your question you had asked is, what am I doing to be able to do the marketing online for it? Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing that comes to mind, I am currently being recorded on a podcast by Blake. You know, sparketing is, that's one way to do it, right?
There you go.
Yes, a little shameless plug. Don't worry, I won't even ask for reimbursement. So that's one way. Another way is, I am a very, very, very firm believer in LinkedIn. And when I say firm believer, I mean, you can call me a zealot. You can call me a cult follower. I don't care. Call me whatever you want. The fact remains that I was on Facebook for about, 12 years, something like that, that I was using Facebook. But I was using it for the trivialities of personal day-to-day life, you know, of also keeping in contact with people that are that I was friends with internationally without having to, you know, pay for phones.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically, I had gone onto LinkedIn. It was actually, that's a story in itself of how I even got onto LinkedIn. Let's just say thank you to my wife. And I say that publicly and humbly. Love you. And, once I started actually and actively using LinkedIn, it was a game changer for me. I stopped going on Facebook for the actual purpose of socializing, because I realized that if I'm going to be spending time looking at a screen and reading what people have to say and seeing what it is that they have to share, why not do the exact same thing, but to do so in a work state of mind, in a state of mind that is able to be useful right. For myself. And that's what comes in with the online marketing. With online marketing, depending on what it is that you want to market, you have to know what platform to use to be able to reach certain audiences. For example, why do I love LinkedIn so much? Because, like I said, every single person that goes onto LinkedIn, they're already, when you touch the icon, if you're using your phone, mm-hmm. or you type in the URL or click on the bookmark, if you're using your desktop, and you go onto LinkedIn, you're not going because you're thinking to yourself, hey, I want to see what Dave is up to today. I want to see what Blake is doing today. No, why you're going on is because you have either one of three reasons. A, you are either looking for a new opportunity, meaning a new job, or you're looking back and reminiscing of your old one, right? That's part of one. Mm-hmm. Two, you want to find somebody that is looking for that new opportunity. Or three, you want to either pitch or purchase a service or product, and you want to see what others have to say about it before you make a decision. Those are the three main purposes that anybody and everybody goes onto LinkedIn. Everything else is just fluff.
Mm. Well, can you talk about that fluff a little bit more? Like, what is the difference between creating great content that really matters, creating genuine content, and just creating fluff?
Ah, so that's a very, very deep question. There's a lot of different ways that I can answer that, a lot of different ways to elaborate on that. But I think the best way would probably be a short analogy.
Go for it.
You know, I love my analogies. I'm sorry. You know, it's the
storyteller.
The analogy is actually a story. You go to the carnival and you're waiting online. What are you waiting online for? You look up and you realize, you see that it's a roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear the screams. You see that it's going up and down and up and down and left and right and upside down and everything. And you're looking and looking. And all of a sudden you realize you haven't seen one car passing. The line itself has been moving very slowly, but it's only been moving slowly because people have been stepping away. People have been leaving the line, making more room for you while you wait. And you look closer and you realize that roller coaster, it's just a backdrop. Do you know what there is? There's a car. It's just sitting there. People are taking a picture as if they're going screaming down a loop or around a loop. That's fluff. Genuine content, when you see people walking out of the exit from that roller coaster, puking their brains out and walking lopsided, and you're wondering how many bars they went to before they arrived to that park, that is genuine.
So we want to make them puke.
We want to make them puke.
All right.
We want to make them buy brand new shoes every hour or so.
No, I like that. That's an interesting analogy.
I know, right? I just came up with it. Not bad.
Did you? Nice.
I should write that one down. Yeah. I hope you're recording this.
No, I hope that people are listening, though, because the fluff is the easy part. It's a lot easier to put up a backdrop of a roller coaster than it is to build a roller coaster, right? So that's the easy way out. It's a lot harder to actually have the roller coaster, to go on the roller coaster, to get people interested in the roller coaster, but that's what's real. That's what provides the real engagement. So how do you – let's talk a little more about LinkedIn, since you're such a LinkedIn zealot, as you put it. What is your strategy on LinkedIn that is making you effective right now? Because you have really – you have a good community of people that are very engaged in the things that you're talking about. You talk about a lot of different things. What's your strategy, the kind of posts you put out, the scheduling, and all that? Could you take us through a little bit?
Sure. I apologize if I miss anything. But feel free to try to point out, and hopefully it'll be something that I can actually, put my finger on.
Okay.
A lot of it, to be totally blunt, is more gut feeling than anything else. I've learned to trust in my gut feeling, because the gut feeling is not just an assumption, oh, this is going to work. It's an assumption that something's going to work based on something that we just don't understand where it comes from, but sometimes we have to know to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, sometimes you shouldn't, but that's as you get more experienced with it, you start realizing what's a true gut feeling and what's not, just like the difference between love and lust.
Right. Yeah.
They both feel the same pheromones, same hormones, but one is for one purpose, whereas the other is for a completely different one. That being said, scheduling wise, I've played around with it. I do a lot of A/B testing with a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Except with my videos and with my posts, I don't like to do so much A/B testing, because if something is an A, awesome. If something is a B, I'm not happy with myself. Anything that is less than 1,200 or 1,300 views with about 4 or 5% engagement rate by 24 hours after I post it, I consider it done.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. Scheduling wise, I've been playing with it, and I have found that surprisingly, the best engagement that I get is roughly or anywhere between 12 p.m. and 2:30 p.m. my time.
Interesting.
Time. However, I have found that that really depends on the day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Because on a Monday, that seems to be more likely. On a Tuesday, that's iffy. That's somewhere between either that or the time of, around 5, between 5 and 7 p.m. I've had posts. I had one post the other day that I posted at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Actually, you saw that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the reason why I posted it was because I was awake. I mean, why was I awake? My son decided that I needed to be awake.
Yes.
But that got... if you think of it, even though by the time that I woke up in the morning, there were only 20 something comments, I think, or 15 something like that. That means that during regular sleeping hours between 2 a.m. and 6 a.m. or 7 a.m., it got approximately somewhere between 15 to 20 something comments or likes, or I don't even remember exactly. Mm-hmm. I'm not even looking at my computer. Now imagine, or not even imagine, but question for yourself. What does that mean? Does that mean that it's because it was so compelling that I got that much engagement immediately when people woke up? Or is it that my audience is worldwide and therefore there's all the different times of engagement because there's no true, you know, that's the beauty of the internet. There's no true set times. You could find anything at any time to your heart's desire.
Right.
So, you know, in that regard, maybe that could have been something that was beneficial. Maybe it could be that because I posted it at 2 a.m, it happened to be right at that time that people in Australia would see it, because I did all of a sudden after that start getting more Australian connection requests. So, you know, it's very interesting, actually. So that's in regards to scheduling. What were the other
You know, that pretty much covers it. I think you went pretty in-depth there. I think that's interesting, though, because typically you'll look at these studies that are done by reputable companies like BuzzSumo or, you know, other companies, and they try to find the best time to post on social. And they always say, don't post during the day for LinkedIn. People don't want to look at that while they're at work. They want to look at Facebook while they're at work, you know?
You just hit a nerve, but go ahead.
I know. I mean, this is BuzzSumo talking, not me, okay? But a lot of these reports they'll do all these studies and gather these metrics, and they'll say you have to post between, you know, 5:30 and 6 p.m. or early in the morning, 7 a.m. And that, you know, 86% I think of the posts happen in central or eastern time zones. And so it's like, it's interesting that you're breaking down this barrier now where the engagement doesn't have to be dictated by the time necessarily, because you do have people across the world that, and whoever's listening to this, you have friends across the world, most likely. You've got somebody that lives in another country. You've got some kind of audience, and it really doesn't matter exactly when you post. It's all just about trying things out, like you said, and just kind of, you A/B test, but ultimately some people will just be engaged some days and some people won't other days, and you go with the flow. But it's very, very interesting.
Exactly. And then there's another part also that's very important, which is mutual appreciation. Somebody is, and actually an even smaller way of saying it, or not smaller, but shorter way of saying it, is respect. You know, the reason why I did the 10 tips in 10 day challenge, I just finished it. I didn't do it in 10 days, but technically speaking, it was 10 days of 10 tips.
It semi counts.
Yeah, exactly. Besides, I don't think anybody actually followed to be able to do exactly in 10 days. Anybody who did, my hat goes off to them as many times as it takes until they go.
Thankfully, I was never nominated for that.
Oh, yeah?
Never had to try. Right, oh, now. Dang it.
I'm kidding. I'm not actually going to. That sounded actually like you really are happy that you weren't nominated. So I won't even bother.
I've got enough LinkedIn videos I'm trying to put up, you know?
Oh, yeah. No, I got you. Yeah. I got you. A different time. But I will hold you to it one day.
All right. Sounds good.
Or 10 days. But, yeah, so my series was on respect.
Right.
And the reason why I chose respect is because in marketing terms – and in relationship terms and everything terms and relationship marketing terms as well, I guess we could throw that in there, plus conversationalist, blah, 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 whatever terms you want to use, but it's all the same thing. If you have to show respect to people, because if you don't show respect, they're not going to show you respect because it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. And the same thing goes for all marketing. If you don't build a relationship with somebody, they're not going to want to have you as a cornerstone of their market or as a foundation or of their market altogether. What would be the purpose? What is the benefit to them? Because again, if you can have the same exact service that's done by 4 or 5 different companies, you know, if there's so many different proximity beacons all of a sudden that all tout the exact same thing, what makes you want to go to one other than being a network marketer? And hint, hint, I'm not even going to go in there.
Yeah.
That being said, when you engage on people's content, when you engage not just saying, hey, great stuff, thumbs up, keep it up, but instead you engage to add insight, to add value, to show to show them that you watched it and that you didn't just read the caption and then make a comment based on what you read in the caption, which sometimes, by the way, I do like to play with it. I'll sometimes write the caption that has to do with just the first part of the video and not put in any of the other stuff from the end of it, so that if I see that people are commenting on the beginning of the video or on the caption, that means that they're actually not able to sit through it for whatever reason, and I could sort of play with it based on that. you got to show them, you got to show everybody respect, because if you don't, then why are they going to come to you? If you go ahead and you comment on somebody's video, you know, wow, I really appreciate the message, and not just that I appreciate it, but, you know, I had this happen to me the other day, which was almost exactly the same situation, only different, but you handled it so much better, kudos to you, blah, 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 they're going to be a lot more likely to see your stuff coming up in your in their feed. Besides for talking about the algorithm, again, I'm not a developer, to be. But besides for that, because of the engagement, they're going to want to look for you. They're going to want to see, hey, what's Jacob up to? Hey, what's Blake up to? Mm-hmm. Let's go take a look. And, oh, look, they just dropped a new video. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. Wow, this is great. Oh, you know what? I just had this other thing happen. Even if they didn't necessarily, but they already have that mindset and subconscious desire to do so.
Sure thing. And I've talked about that on this podcast before, about how engaging with people instead of just, you know, follow, unfollow, connect just for the heck of it, like that doesn't really do anything for the sole purpose of when you engage with people, you become top of mind. Like you're saying, the more you engage with other people genuinely and respectfully, then all of a sudden, whenever they see that you post something, they understand immediately, that's the person that, you know, comments on my stuff and that is my friend. I'm going to comment on their stuff. And it creates a bond. And that respect goes so much further than just, you know, a lot of people will think when you're talking about respect, you're just talking about being nice to people. That's more than that. It's respecting people's time. It's respecting people, you know, in terms of what kind of content you're putting in front of them. You have to respect your audience. So another part of that could be, don't connect with people that have nothing to do with the content that you share, because maybe you're wasting their time.
Right. So there is that. That's A. But B, your audience is constantly changing, constantly evolving, constantly building and losing.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas you may be targeting one part of an audience or one audience that you have today, and that may be a very different audience that from what you're going to have in a week, because your purpose may change, your direction may change, your audience themselves may have their purpose and desires change, or they may just get bored of it, because let's be honest, there's a lot of people that are jumping into video right now that, you know, I give a lot of credit to the fact that they're trying to jump into it, but there are some people that probably shouldn't be, and they're turning off some people from giving video a chance because they're seeing it and they're cringing, but then they're not watching other people that do have amazing stuff.
Right.
You know, so I'm not going to say that the people should be discouraged. By all means, if you think you could do it, friggin' try it. What's the worst that can happen? That you don't do well? Okay.
Yeah.
But what I will tell you is, don't try to add fluff. Don't try to make it or make yourself look like or sound like something that you are not and somebody that you're not. Because if you do, do you know what's going to happen? You're not going to be believed. You're going to be looked at as a bullshit. The person that, you know, is not believed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
My bad, by the way. I know that you wanted to try to keep that rated.
We're good. We're good. I threw on a pee over there. We're good. I think it'll slip by.
Okay, great.
I have one final question for you. I want to know how, when you're talking to people in person, you're trying to do marketing in person, how do you get results in that way?
Ooh, that's a great question. Honestly, it's very, very, very similar. The only difference is that you're actually in person. When you're in person, it's actually a lot scarier than when you're online. When you're online, even though you're not anonymous on LinkedIn, unless, of course, you have a name, that you come up with, fuchimanuli.org.edu, whatever. Besides for that, when you're in person, there's no anonymity, there's no protection, there's no mask. Everything that you do, everything that you say, the way that you smell, the way that you comb your hair, if you comb your hair, the way that you shave, the little nicks that you get if you shave, everything plays a little role. The way that you make eye contact, the way that you move your hands around, if you move your hands around, the way that you jump from side to side, like I'm doing right now as we talk, you know, because you're excited. That's just, everything plays a role. Now, when you're online and you're doing a video or you're writing a post, and you're like, oh, wait, no, that's not right. Okay, you know, not this. Okay, no, mm-hmm. I'm going to try this again. When you're in person, you don't have that. It's a Broadway show. It's a one take. There's only one way to do it, and the only way is the right way. And people remember things in person. So one of the things that I like to do is I do give credit as much as I possibly can. I treat online as a virtual arm of myself, and I treat in person as a virtual arm of my virtual self. If that makes any sense, it goes in a circle. You know, I build my name online with the same methods that I do in person, although building up my name online, of course, goes a lot quicker, right. Goes a lot further, and I can be in 30 places simultaneously talking to and directly to, not at, but to 30,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's very interesting. Like, man, I really like what you said there. Just how it's exactly the same, but then all at the same time, you have no margin for error. So it's like, well, not that you don't have a margin for error necessarily, but that there's one take. I liked how you worded that, because that's definitely true. You can edit all you want online. There's no editing in person. So that can be very daunting to people. But I think that also the human element of that is a strong suit in a lot of maybe sales situations and marketing, whatever it may be. Or, you know, obviously a job interview in person is probably going to give you more information about a person than if you do it online through just looking at somebody's resume. That's why people get called in for interviews. So it's just interesting the differences between marketing yourself in person versus online. There are definite similarities, but overall, it's just the editing. There's no room to edit yourself online. There are no takebacks, which can be kind of scary. And that's why a lot of people will look at what you're doing on LinkedIn when your videos aren't very edited. They're just pretty much a selfie video, pretty raw, vulnerable, of you talking about a topic. And a lot of people will look at that and say, I can't do that because I'm going to make mistakes. So what would you say to those people?
I would say to those people exactly what Brian Breen and I said to each other when we came up with the hashtag one take, which, by the way, kudos to Brian because he came up with it a lot higher and a lot better and with much more depth than I did. I just sort of coaxed the idea, I guess mm-hmm. you could say. I would say just freaking do it, you know? So you make mistakes, big deal. But that's part of being a human and that's part of marketing. Not that, you know, if everybody and anybody could market, then everybody and anybody and their mothers would market. But people can't, because it takes a certain kind of a personality. It takes a certain kind of person to, you know, to plug my own hashtag, to keep on chugging, to be able to keep going, even when you feel like, what's the point? What is the purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that everybody should give a chance to, because you never know. You can make it or you can break it. Look at Quentin alums, for example. You know, and one of the things that I love about Quentin is that he always emphasizes, he's raw. He straight up says, you know, I was doing nothing and I had nothing that was going for me until I just had one video, one post, right when video came out, that all of a sudden just went viral. And my life's never been the same ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that actually that post was either, what, from a day or two ago or something like that? Can't remember exactly. But I digress. But the main point and the main thing that I'm trying to get at is you're not going to know if you could be a success with something or if it can be successful if you give in to the intimidation, if you don't try, you're never going to know. If you do try and it doesn't work, then either you didn't try hard enough or, you know, then it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you try and you get through the intimidation and it does work and it does change your life, then you haven't lost anything other than the fear.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jacob, for your time. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I hope that the audience got, we got a lot of really great tips from you about overcoming fear, about producing great content, being respectful, getting on LinkedIn, and scaling through stories. So I'm really thankful you came on today, and I hope you have a great one.
Likewise, and Blake, thank you very much as well. It was a pleasure being, and you know, we should definitely continue talking more.
Thank you so much for listening, Sparketers. As usual, I'd like to recommend that you subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can find the Sparketing YouTube channel at youtube.com/C/Blake Emmel. I really, really would appreciate it so I can make more videos and more podcast episodes, and also recommend this podcast to your friends and continue to download the episodes. I'll see you next time.